As a record, it's a miracle. Something that shouldn't have happened.
Wagnerian. Yeah, definitely Wagnerian.
A source of surprise, a thrill.
It has a largeness of movement.
So bottomless and so unstoppable.
It rises and falls in a kind of oceanic way.
So glorious, so rich.
So complete in itself.
That you were living a certain life, and then when you came across a certain song like a Rolling Stone, the world looked different, smelled different, and the door was open to a new world that you had to continue to step over that threshold into that world.
I don't think there's ever been a better single released.
Hearing it for the first time ever on record, rushing out and buying the 45, running home with it, putting it on a Dansette C30 portable record player, and hearing that drum crack that starts the song and just being wiped out by it.
Bruce Springsteen said once that like that opening snare shot was like Bob Dylan kicking open the door to your mind.
Once Upon a Time. Great. Fabulous opening. It's a fairy tale.
Once upon a time, you dressed so fine, through the bumps of dime in your prime. Then you...
standing there, pointing its finger in your face.
People call, say, beware, doll, you're bound to fall, you thought they were all kidding you. You used to laugh about everybody that was
It is a song that on the side of the ragged and the broken and against the pompous and the official.
I think the expectations of us at the time were to be groomed for a career in medicine or law or business, to excel at our chosen professions, to be upstanding, achievement-oriented Catholic professional men. Pretty rigorous school, pretty academically challenging. There was one teacher on the staff who was the radical with a huge bushy mustache and wore a beret and smoked a pipe with like kind of a glint in his eye. And he came into class on the first day, you know, we're of course sitting there ready to diligently take notes. Without saying a word, the first thing he wrote on the blackboard was, if you ain't got nothing, you got nothing to lose, in big white chalk. And then in the bottom right, he put Bob Dylan. I remember that vividly, just blowing me away how dangerous and how exciting those words felt. It was sort of a way at age 15 for me to think in terms of, well, I might not be able to articulate myself very well by the way I feel, but I can just sort of play somebody this song. And it was so utterly truthful that it was inarguable. There was no more debate. It sort of silenced everything. The weight of expectation was still pretty heavy at the time. And I think it didn't make me care less. It just made me sort of cut through all the static to something deeper and the importance of something deeper in your life. That morning, that day set me on the path to be in connection with something you love and something that you felt there was great meaning and great purpose to.
Ultimately, to me, what makes that record special is its sound. The sound isn't specific to the 60s. It isn't specific to the 50s. It isn't specific to today. People in rock and roll have always known that there's such a thing as a total sound that creates an entirely new world. And like a Rolling Stone, you're in the middle of that total sound, and while the song plays, nothing exists outside of it.
Are you going to the finest school? All right, Miss Lonely, but you know you only used to get juiced in it.
When a recording of that sort is made, that seems to come out of nowhere, you're ultimately faced with a kind of glorious accident. Dylan said recently that he understands how he writes songs, but in the case of Like a Rolling Stone, he didn't really. That it was like a ghost had given the song to him. And anybody who's ever engaged in creative work knows what that's like. When something pops into your head and you think, I couldn't have thought of that. I don't even understand what that means.
Dylan described writing it as page after page of vomit, he said, came out as he was typing the lyrics.
And I found myself writing this song, this long piece of vomit, 20 pages long. Out of it, I took Like a Rolling Stone, and I made it as a single. And I'd never written anything like that before, and it suddenly came to me that that was what I should do. After writing that, I wasn't interested in writing a novel or a play or anything. Like, I knew, like, I just had too much. I wanted to write songs, you know, because it was just a whole new category.
Something like that is going on, not just in the process of writing Like a Rolling Stone for Bob Dylan when he comes into the studio with a sheet of paper with words on it. It's going on in the way suddenly the musicians link up and discover the song for themselves as they're playing it.
Okay, Bob, we got everybody here. Let's do one, and then I'll play it back to you. You can pick it apart.
Part of my job was to know record producers in New York. One of the producers on my list was Tom Wilson, and he was producing Bob Dylan. So he invited me to a Bob Dylan session, sort of as a favor and a friend. And somewhere over the course of the session, they decided to move the organ player over to piano. So I walked over to Tom Wilson and I said, why don't you let me play the organ? I got a really good part for this. And he said, oh, man, you a guitar player. What are you talking about? And then just at that second, somebody comes, there's a phone call for you, Tom. So I said to myself, I said, well, he didn't say no. So I went out into the studio and sat down at the organ and took a shot. I was also lucky that it was turned on because it's very difficult to turn an organ on. There are two switches and there's a sort of a choreography involved in that. And I didn't really know that at the time, how to turn it on properly. So I was very lucky that the guy left it turned on. So Tom Wilson came back from his phone call and he said, all right, this is take 7. Hey, what are you doing out there?
Okay. What are you doing there?
And I just started laughing because I was a bit embarrassed. And that was the moment of truth. At that point, he could have said, you know, get your ass back in the booth there. But he said, when I started laughing, he said, all right, here we go. This is take 7.
Okay, stand by.
Contrary to what I told Tom Wilson, I did not have a good organ part. I was making it up as I was going along there. It was probably the first actual record I ever played on as an organ player. So they went into the control room to listen to it back because it's the first complete take they had. About a third of the way through the song, Dylan said to Tom Wilson, turn the organ up. And Tom said, oh, man, he's not an organ player. And Dylan said, I don't care what he is, turn the organ up. And that's how I became an organ player.
How does it feel?